This is the Grant Magazine Podcast. I'm Blue Mediet. Hey, Ma. Ma?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I called my mom because I wanted to talk with her about something that happened when I was a kid. I wrote an essay about it and hadn't shown her yet. I wanted her to read what I'd written.
I remember when I first said the word?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the story. You don't read the whole thing. You don't have a bunch of time.
That's fine. That's fine. You can keep talking.
I want you to read it for a sec.
That might make me cry a little bit.
Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah. I do remember when that happened. We were in our apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were in my bedroom, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when that happened.
I was about 7 years old. It was just the two of us living in our little apartment in Kansas. I loved to call my mom silly names. I'd rhyme incoherent words together and giggle about all their funny sounds.
We were probably, as always, goofing around in the room, jumping on the bed.
But this name was different.
When I heard it, I wanted that moment to stop.
I called her the N-word. I remember crying when that happened, definitely.
I do remember you crying, and it's because I was so serious, and I think that our relationship was so easy and fun and light, and when you heard me get very serious like that, I think it didn't scare you, but it maybe made you feel a little bit of something, maybe a little bit of shame or not quite understanding.
And my confusion didn't end there. I mixed, black and white. My skin is fair, but my hair is kinky. My single white mother didn't want me using this word, then or now. But the thing is, I see it and hear it every day in music, movies, and even from my friends. Today, I still struggle with the use of this word amongst my white friends. I never know where to draw the line between right and wrong on the N-word.
I didn't use it as a kid, but primarily I didn't use it as a kid because we were forbidden to use it.
That's Jabari Yassim, author of the book The N-Word, which explores the history of the word's use. He also works as the executive editor of the Crisic magazine published by the NAACP, the country's oldest African-American magazine. Yassim remembers his own experience with the word.
In ninth grade, I was in Boston for my sister's graduation from Brandeis University, and I was walking with my dad. We were taking a walk through the community surrounding the college, and a car full of white people pulled up and said, go home, niggers, go home, that kind of thing. And, my dad said, just ignore them, let's just keep walking. So that's what we did.
He also remembers growing up in a household that didn't want him using the word.
Accompanying the criticism of its usage in the community, the elders always said, if you knew the history of that word, you wouldn't use it.
So what is this word, really? Where did it come from, and why has it shown up so much in pop culture? In trying to understand what this word means today, I thought the first step should be to look at where it started.
First written evidence that I stumbled upon was in 1619, John Rolfe's diary of the arrival of 20 Africans to Jamestown.
Waltz called these Africans derogatory names from the beginning.
He spelled it this way, N-E-G-A-R. But I thought it was significant that one of the oldest written records, where the country begins, the roots of this country, a variation of the N-word is used to describe the arrival of black people on the continent.
Some people argue that the word started as a descriptor and then slowly grew into a racially degrading term. Yassim says that's not the case.
It's difficult to say with any credibility that it was once a race-neutral term. I just didn't find any evidence to support that.
So it's a hateful word. No getting around that. I had to start saying it to white friends when they said it. I didn't want to be around people that use it so loosely. But that wasn't easy. At first, I always questioned myself and felt bad. Maybe it's not a big deal, I'd say. Talking with people now, my opinion's been set. It's not okay.
It's too much history behind it. You know what I'm saying? And too much bad history. So it's no need for black people, minorities, anybody, matter of fact, to use it that loosely.
I decided to go into the streets of New York City to get some different opinions on this issue. I wanted to see what other people, black, white, Latina, or any ethnicity, felt about the use of the word. This man, who wished to be anonymous, shared a story that stuck with him.
One time in the past, you know? One time I was doing the job and this guy just, I don't know what happened, but, was a Caucasian guy. You know, older guy at the time. You know, at the time I was 18 years old. This was in the early 90s. And for some reason he lashed out at me and started using that word loosely at me, you know? I mean, in a very, very bad way, you know? With a lot of anger behind it. For no reason, I never did the guy anything, but I guess he just chose to use
it. He just came out at you.
Yeah, called me that a few times, you know?
It was surprising to me that some 20 years later, this story was still painful for him to tell. It just shows how powerful this word is. And stories like these that really remind me why my friend shouldn't be saying the word. On the opposite side of the spectrum, I talked to some people that viewed the word much differently.
I was once called a nigger on the basketball court, and it was one of the best compliments of my life.
This guy's white, by the way. He also asked to be unnamed.
Why would that be a compliment?
Because my shot was going in, and they said, who's checking that nigger?
Do you find that how do you find that as a compliment?
Because I was playing with blacks, and it was used as a term of respect. In other words, they ignored the fact that I was white and told me that I was deserving of respect as a basketball player, that I was equal to them, and that I belonged on the court.
You might have heard me pause for a second there. It was definitely hard for me to keep my journalistic voice going because I wanted to comment on what he said. This is what's crazy to me. For this Jamaican man, it's clear how painful this word is for him to hear. Then this white guy, who's never been degraded by it, hears it, and he sees it as a huge compliment. As a white person, you have this privilege to decide what this word means. You can take it as a compliment, but then use it as a slur. A black person doesn't have that privilege. Jabari Yassim says white people have always had a problematic relationship with the word. He says that at the beginning of the 20th century, the word was everywhere.
If you could stand in a parlor, say a middle-class parlor, certain emblems of middle-class accomplishment include a piano. So the family would gather around and sing from songbooks that were commonly referred to as nigga songsters. But I also make the argument that if you left that parlor and say you stood in the kitchen and you spun slowly around 360 degrees, everywhere your eyes landed, you could possibly land on the N-word. The canned foods, nigger was commonly used in brands to describe them. The games that the children played in the parlor while the adults sang included Chopped Up Niggers, which was made by Parker Brothers. The smaller children, the picture books that they read featured a boy and girl named Ned and Nellie Nigger. So it's all over the house. It's in the kitchen, it's in the parlor, it's in the game room, it's in the playroom. So I always find it, you know, really hard to take when people suggest that hip-hop is responsible for the spread of the N-word in popular culture, which suggests that the N-word was nowhere to be found in popular culture prior to the emergence of hip-hop, when in fact, it was everywhere.
So the word has been in pop culture for a long time. White people practically put it on everything. That could explain why it's so prevalent today and why so many people don't know where to stand on the morality of its use. But who's to say who can say the word nowadays?
Since I do identify as a white woman, I feel like I will never use it and white people should never use it because of the history of it, but also because the word was never used to degrade me. I feel like I shouldn't say if people of color, specifically black people, should be able to say the word or not. I think it's up to each individual.
That's Laura Moore. I met her on the streets of New York. She raises a good point. Is there even a place for white opinion in this conversation? Moore said that there's really only one thing white people should be doing for the issue.
White people need to be doing is when other white people say the word, they need to challenge those white folks. What are you using that word for?
Moore calls herself a recovering racist because of her childhood in Wisconsin. There, she says, she was surrounded by racist language and people. Her family saw things much differently than she does now.
Just even growing up, with my family calling those big nuts, Brazil nuts, they called them N-word toes. When we were little, the kids would all like run and pile on each other. People would call it the N-word pile. I could go on and on. We were in a restaurant one time. We ordered Mountain Dew, and my grandpa from Chicago, white man, said, "You can't order that. That's N-word soda." I was like, oh my God.
When Moore went to college, she thought she had left most of that racist thinking behind. She was surprised to find that as a white woman in a very white state, she had a lot of racist ideals that she was not even aware of. Something called the White Privilege Conference opened her eyes.
When I was 22 years old, I went to a conference called the White Privilege Conference. And it's a conference that looks at all the intersectionalities between racism, classism, sexism. It looks at diversity from all different angles. And I went because I had so much resistance when I had professors try to have me read Why Are All the Kids, Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria by Dr. Beverly Tatum. And I was like, I'm not reading this book. I'm not a racist.
But after she attended the conference, she saw racism in places she'd never noticed before.
The White Privilege Conference changed my life. It's been a long journey. It's a journey every day. It's a journey every day. But that's when I started to realize how racist I myself was.
My name is Dr. Eddie Moore, Jr. I am the founder and program director for the White Privilege Conference.
That's Eddie Moore. Yes, husband of Laura Moore. They first met at the White Privilege Conference that Laura Moore was so resistant to go to, and the two went on to get married and have a child. As a sidebar, I'd like to point out how crazy it is that while reporting on a story about the N-word, I stumbled upon a woman whose husband has dedicated his life to educating people about race and the N-word.
If you were in my nigger workshop, the first thing we would do is you would be sitting in a crowd of, let's say, 50, 100 people. I would turn out the lights at the start of the presentation, tell you and the audience to clear your mind. And so then as their minds are clearing and the room is quiet, I open the door and close the door so they can hear it slam. And then I say to them, a nigger just walked through the door. And so then I ask them, okay, what's the picture? What's the visual that comes to your mind? If you had to describe that visual in one word, what would it be? What do you think most groups describe that picture as?
A black man?
Exactly. I mean, I get all kinds of things from Air Force Ones to gold teeth to gangster to sagging to big to scary to dangerous. But essentially it boils down to what you just said, black man, right? And so here's my question that I challenge the audience with. Do you think this picture that you have in your mind is something that you're born with or something that you learn from society or from wherever you may learn it? Or what do you think most people say when I ask them if it's learned behavior or it's something they're born with?
It's a learned behavior, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And so there is the question that I ask my audience to be willing to consider.
So what I really want to know is, how does it affect the people that hear it?
I will be so bold to say I know it has an impact that's negative on black kids, primarily based on my own experience, that I know by digesting niggers in the way that I digested nigger, that it was not healthy for my psyche, for my personal development, my self-esteem.
Moore also notes that the word affects not just the psyche of black kids who hear it, but also white kids, people like my friends who hear it every day in music, movies, or in school hallways. As for himself, Moore feels that he can hear the word even when it isn't said.
As a owner of a organization and founder of a national global conference, there are times that, say, I can remember, you know, again, going into the negotiation part with different entities as it relates to the organizing of the conference, right? And people not really believing that I'm the person in charge, right? It's hard for them to perceive me as the boss. Now, again, some would argue, well, that's not calling you a nigger. Well, I would argue that if I can't be seen as in charge, that absolutely. It's like saying that I can't be the creator, the organizer, the founder, the boss. So it's those kinds of I can't prove it in court moments. But it sure feels like I got injured severely.
It's clear to me that racism goes beyond just this word. But it's also clear that the N-word isn't doing much good for our society. How do we resolve it? The constant casual use of it in order to take away the sting seems ignorant and ineffective. What about getting rid of it completely? How would banning the word help us? I pose this question to Asim. Today, when things like the NFL try to ban it from the field, it's bleeped out, and oftentimes asterisks cover up the full word in print. Do you think that kind of censorship in media is a good thing?
I do not. Actually, I argue that there are several categories in which the N-word should not be bleeped out, deleted, or otherwise edited. One of them is scholarship. Because if you are writing about, let's say you're writing about Sheriff Jim Clark in Selma, in the 1950s and 60s. I mean, he routinely called black people niggers as he went about his law enforcement business. And for my history to be complete and accurate, I need to address that. I can't really fully expose racism without directly engaging the language of racism.
That makes sense to me. We can't hide from the problem. By talking about it and even saying it sometimes, we're helping people understand what this word holds.
Another one is journalism. I would rather know what racial epithets were exchanged. As a consumer of news, I believe I have a right to know. I believe I have a right to complete information to help me form my own opinions about things.
I choose not to say the word for this podcast, because that's how I was raised. I choose out of my character to use the word. And I agree with what Asim is saying, but it's very justifiable reasons to be said, but I'm going to stick with its abbreviation.
Another area in which I think it is acceptable is art, including music. I think we need to leave artists alone and let them do their thing, and that includes what language they choose. When I'm looking at art, I want the use of the N-word to do either one of two things for me. I want it to advance my understanding of the society in which I live, or to expose shortcomings in my society, including possibly my own neuroses about race. A good example would be NWA's famous song about the police. I think that their use of the N-word in that song and other songs on that album, sometimes it appears to be gratuitous and not really helping their art, but in other times I think they use it brilliantly because they are exposing the racism in society. They are advancing my understanding, for example, of what it's like to be a young black man hounded by the police in South Central LA and Compton during the period in which they were making their art.
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown and not the other color, so police think to kill a minority. Fuck that shit, cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on.
Asim even says white people can say the word if used in the right context.
If it meets those same criteria, I mean, the example I always give is Mark Twain, who's white, and he meets that criteria very easily. Certainly there are other, I mean, Mark Twain was a giant, of course, but, you know, there are many other white artists who are and of other backgrounds who are equally capable of commenting on race. If you're going to comment on race, you've got to encounter, engage, interact with the language of racism, I think. And that certainly applies to anyone, and not just black people.
In my search to find the true right and wrong of who and who can't, when and when not to say the word, I found that it really lies in how you say it. Not your tone or pitch, but your intention and meaning. An educated remembrance, a powerful lyric in a song, a conversation with your son. I know that the way my friends have said it in the past isn't okay, and I hope that sticks with them, and that they hear what I'm saying. I'm not racist, they'll say. But when you tell a joke that has this word in it, that is racist. This word is racist. I know my mom was right in telling me not to say it. She set me on the right path of understanding, and she didn't let me fall into one of ignorance. Who knows where this word will be in 50 years? How could we ever change it? Here's Jabari Asim to take us out.
The only way we could ever render or reduce the relevance of the N-word is to reduce or eliminate systematic white supremacy. I think as long as that exists and flourishes at the heart of our society, the N-word will be a word that, you know, really has no place in the conversation other than in those categories that I already outlined. If we're serious about reducing the significance of the N-word, we have to be serious about confronting and eliminating white privilege and white supremacy.
So it's really not going going about changing the word, about changing the society we're in, and then from there we can look at what this word means.
Right, and I'm not optimistic about the evolution of the society.